Hello, everyone. This is episode 254 of the Todd Wright Toddcast, coming to you on a Thursday morning, last Thursday of the month of June. I have often been praised for being one of, if not the first, to take a position to consistently argue or try to format an argument against virtually everyone in terms of getting into some form of Hall of Fame to balance out how most people are always arguing for people getting into a Hall of Fame. So I'm a bit conflicted with something I stumbled upon in the last 24 hours, and it just shows there are exceptions to every rule. Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. Full service can mean many things. It can mean divorce. It can mean child support adjustment. It can mean family law. If you're wondering if it can and will mean what you need it to mean when you are in need of legal assistance, you may receive a free consultation by going to BrandonLegalGroup.com or by calling 813-902-3576, 813-902-3576, Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including the upcoming Todd Wright Tour 43, XLIII, which will be announced for an early October date very soon at West Chase Golf Club. West Chase Golf Club has hosted more Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, and obviously we're up to number 43, than anyone else. They're on the calendar for 2023, and they're already booked for 2024. I enjoy working with Jared Atkinson, Daryl Spelich, the staff at West Chase Golf Club. If you hear that West Chase Golf Club has members, if you hear that they are private, it's wrong. That's a myth. It is not true. They do sell an annual pass, and you can ask them about that, but it's not a membership. They are a public golf course, and you can check tee times by going to westchasegc.com. Was just out there on Sunday, both on the Aqua Range and on the course itself. Can speak to how the superintendent maintains it in very good condition. West Chase Golf Club in Tampa, home of Todd Wright Tour, XLIII in early October. If you are interested in hearing more about when I put Todd Wright Tour 43 on sale, you can email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Anything non-golf related can go to wright.todd@yahoo.com. I know we talked about golf in the last Todd Wright Toddcast, so either or was fine in that case. I'm on Instagram at ToddWright2121, same with Twitter, and on Facebook we can be friends. I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. Filling the gap until college and pro football season starts, I was just thinking, my initial thought was just I had to kill about 10 minutes and just sit idly and wait 10 minutes. So I came up with a topic in my own head about, all right, we're 57 Super Bowls in. What are the five least memorable winning Super Bowl quarterbacks? That's where this all started. And I was thinking of some in my head. Some immediately came to mind. Now, they not only had to start, they had to win. Sort of finding quarterbacks who were just starters in Super Bowls and lost, sometimes based on their performance, made it too easy. No, I wanted winning quarterbacks because that's the ultimate. The glamour position of the most popular sport in America, of the biggest event in America, and you win it. What's bigger? yet you're not really known for it. Or you're known for it and people say, wow, he won a Super Bowl quarterbacking that team. That's where this started. Then I noticed something, and I want to share with you what I noticed. The first 14 Super Bowls, the winning quarterbacks are all in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. All 14. Sure, I'll give you the list. Bart Starr, Joe Namath, Len Dawson, Johnny Unitas, Roger Staubach, Bob Greasy, Terry Bradshaw, Ken Stabler. And the list goes on. Bart won two. Staubach won two. Greasy won two. Bradshaw won four of the first 14. Steel Curtain. Two at the expense of Roger Staubach and the Dallas Cowboys. So there's the first 14. So that stood out to me. It was like, wow. Boom, 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 boom. So then I was like, all right, let's take this further. And there was sort of a, you know, back to quarterbacks you remember and can't believe they were either in a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl. One of those that's in that top five, however you want to look at it, is obviously Trent Dilfer, who literally was the quarterback brought in not to lose because the Ravens were losing with Tony Banks. And Trent Dilfer didn't negatively impact the Ravens as much. And they went on and won Super Bowl 35. Super Bowl 36 was Tom Brady's first. We know Tom Brady's going into the Hall of Fame. But for the sake of argument, I was like, all right, let's talk about the first 35 before we get to Brady. And how few Super Bowl winning quarterbacks are in the Hall of Fame. Ironically, three different guys from the Redskins in these first 35 Super Bowls. Three different names. Quarterback the Redskins to Super Bowl victories. None in the Hall of Fame. Doesn't feel like any will get in posthumously. Doesn't feel like there's a faction making a strong argument. Those three, of course, Theismann, Super Bowl 17, Doug Williams, Super Bowl 22, Mark Rippon, Super Bowl 26. Two were Giants quarterbacks. Phil Simms almost had the perfect game, Super Bowl 21. And then the Haas in what you could still argue is one of the greatest Super Bowls ever played, Super Bowl 25. Sorry, Bills fans. So there's five right there, and it isn't many of the first 35. We acknowledge Dilfer, so there's six. The others, Jim McMahon, who amazingly had a stretch from 1984 into 1987, if you count regular season and postseason. McMahon won 25 consecutive starts. Now you're saying, well, wait a minute. That's over 4 years. Okay, it's across 4 years, parts of and including. But yeah, Jimmy Mack missed a bunch of games, including, and this slipped my mind recently, the Bears' loss in the Orange Bowl that cost them the undefeated season. 38-24 to the Dolphins, protecting the legacy of the 72 Dolphins on Monday Night Football. McMahon didn't start that game. That was Fuller. McMahon missed a lot of games, but the ones he played in 85, the Bears all won. The ones he played in 86, the Bears all won. He had a stretch from 84, end of 84, into 87, where he won 25 consecutive starts. He just couldn't stay on the field for as controversial as he was. A lot of those Bears from that Super Bowl 20 team are in the Hall of Fame. McMahon's not one of them, and I can't disagree. That leaves one other guy. Now, if you're doing the math here, you're saying, so let me run down the other ones. Super Bowl 16, Montana. Super Bowl 19, Montana. Super Bowl 23, Montana. Super Bowl 24, Montana. Then we get into the Cowboys run. Aikman, then Steve Young. Aikman again, then Brett Favre. Then Elway, and then Kurt Warner. So there's, we've just basically touched on 33 of those 35 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. There is one. I'm impressed if you know who I'm going to talk about here for a few minutes. Remember when I was saying I was scrolling from Super Bowl I and I got through the first 14 and every Super Bowl winning quarterback was in the Hall of Fame? I named them to you. We can do it again. From 1 through 14, Star, Namath, Dawson, Unitas, Staubach, Greasy, Bradshaw, Stabler, Staubach, Bradshaw, first 14. At Super Bowl 15 is where that stops. And that's where I want to explore the resume of how the quarterback of the winners of Super Bowl 15 is not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and how even someone like me, who takes a stance against virtually everyone getting into their particular Hall of Fame, exceptions being obviously like Gretzky in the Hockey Hall of Fame, Jordan in the Basketball Hall of Fame, not going to do that. But even I look at this, and I ran this by a couple of people last night whose sports knowledge and pulse I trust. The Super Bowl winning quarterback in Super Bowl 15 didn't just win that one. 3 years later, he won another one. Same team. So that's two. In addition, the first Super Bowl he won, which breaks the streak of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame from the beginning of the Super Bowl, the streak breaks at 15. He was the MVP of that Super Bowl, all right? So already, can I just stop here and say, wait a minute, what's going on? You are a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback of the same franchise, and you're the MVP of one of those two Super Bowls. Let's pause there. Is that enough? Reminds me of a line from Entourage. Is that something that you might be interested in? That alone is stunning. You can win two Super Bowls over a span of 4 years with the same franchise, be the MVP of one of those Super Bowls, not in the Hall of Fame. Let's add to the resume. He was AFC Rookie of the Year. So that's a significant award as well. AFC Rookie of the Year. And he was also an NFL Comeback Player of the Year. And this is not a no-name. This guy won a Heisman. This guy prevented Roger Staubach in a Cotton Bowl from being on the very short list of guys who have won a Heisman, a national championship in college football, and a Super Bowl. Staubach is not on that list because his number two, Navy midshipman, lost in the Cotton Bowl to this guy's Stanford Cardinal. Otherwise, Staubach is on a list that includes only three players. Dorsett, Marcus Allen, Charles Woodson. Only three players. You're saying, no, this is not the only three. I've done a podcast on this before. This fascinates me. Only three men have a Heisman, a college national championship, and a Super Bowl. Reggie Bush is, by the way, taken away. It's three. It's Dorsett, it's Woodson, it's Marcus Allen. Marcus Allen is the only one to have the fourth, the Super Bowl MVP. Staubach would be on that list if not for this guy. So, look, I know Heisman doesn't mean as much now as it used to. We have all these Heisman winners who have failed in the National Football League. I think winning two Super Bowls doesn't mean you failed. I think being Rookie of the Year doesn't mean you failed. He had a good first year. Say, well, you can drop off after that. Yeah, he went on to win two Super Bowls. And he was the Super Bowl MVP in one of those games. And he was the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. So clearly, between winning the Rookie of the Year and winning his first Super Bowl, where he was the MVP, things didn't go so well. And he changed teams a couple of times. He was the first overall pick in the 1971 National Football League draft. And he won AFC Rookie of the Year with the New England Patriots, where he spent five seasons. Then he moved on to the 49ers, where he spent two seasons. Then he got to the Raiders. And that's where he won Super Bowl 15, Super Bowl 18, Super Bowl MVP of Super Bowl 15. Was NFL Comeback Player of the Year. And I'm talking about Jim Plunkett. Only eligible quarterback with two Super Bowl wins as a starter not to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Looking ahead, Ben Roethlisberger's getting in. He won two. Mainly because Ben never had a losing... Right, under Mike Tomlin, the Steelers have never had... I don't know if Ben ever had a losing season. I know Mike Tomlin hasn't. Ben played for both the end of Cowher and for Mike Tomlin for many years. You know, and then we get to those who have won. I guess Eli is going to be an argument, but I think there's enough here on Jim Plunkett's resume where even I, a staunch, what's the right word? A staunch defender of the concept of the best with the Hall of Fame. This stuns me. You're a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback with a Super Bowl MVP, a Rookie of the Year award, a Comeback Player of the Year award, and a Heisman. You didn't really, it's not like you did anything wrong or bad. Now, and I know the arguments against, I looked at that with the overall body of work. What do we play for? Herm said, you play to win the game. In the NFL, what do you play for? I saw this on social media the other day. It asked, you're a fan of one particular pro sports team. Would you like to be in contention every year? Or would you love one championship season? I want to win the championship. That's why I admire, it seems like a lot of teams are doing this also, the sort of all-in mentality. Now, it doesn't work all the time, but it seems like it's been working a lot. Bucks did it around Brady. It worked. Rams did it. It worked. Some say Jerry Jones inaccurately said, well, the Eagles did it. No, Jerry, the Eagles have appeared in more conference championship games in the 21st century in the NFC than anybody. And we know what the number is for the Cowboys. So no, the Eagles play to win, but they're playing the long game also. Remember, when they drafted Jalen Hurts, it turned some heads. It's like, wait a minute, they have Carson Wentz. They are always looking at who's next in line. They've done this very well. They're not the only ones who do it that way. And that's just pro football. So I'll wrap this up. How much of this is because the old guard hates Al Davis? You know, Ken Stabler didn't get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame until he was dead. Is that where we're going with Plunkett? Why? Because of Al? Because Roselle hated Al? And Roselle had all these allies? And it was unpopular for the Raiders to win Super Bowls at that time? Plunkett did his job. There's almost 30 Raiders in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What are we waiting for? Why? Yeah, I also was scrolling through, and you know, there's some say one of the biggest arguments out there is for Vinny Testaverde getting in. Not going to get that from me. Great guy. Just kept playing, but no. Testaverde, one conference championship game appearance. One. Plunkett, two Super Bowl titles, one Super Bowl MVP. Took him until his third team. Why are you penalizing him for being with two organizations who, you know, basically couldn't get their shit together before he got to the Raiders? And they won one in Oakland, and then they won one in LA. So there was even that going on. And Plunkett was still the quarterback that won despite changing cities. That resume is good enough for me. I hope it happens before he passes, unlike Ken Stabler. But I have a feeling that's not going to be the case. What do you think? There it is. The rare put him in argument from me. Exceptions to everything. Like, I'll give you an example. I don't eat seafood, but I eat great crab cakes occasionally. I think it was Pierpoint in Baltimore when I would travel there for some Ravens or Orioles games, or worked in D.C. for a summer. Yeah, they were phenomenal. Right.todd@yahoo.com. So it's the I don't, but I do. And in this case, Jim Plunkett, yeah. Exception to the rule of me arguing against people getting into the hall. Right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and West Chase Golf Club. We'll talk to you next time.